Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Second down and 20 for Mark Sanchez and the New York Jets. Patriots three-man defensive front. Sanchez awaiting the snap. He's got it. Drops back. Stands at the goal line. Looks, fires over the middle. Intercepted at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! Patriots, Rob Ninkovich!
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Well, hey there, and welcome to a Thursday and final edition of This Week Anyway, the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. As always, B-Low, the legendary Brian Lowe, the Fantasy Football Lowdown with us here in the first hour today, and Mortimer, Chris Mortensen will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Couldn't make it yesterday, so he's going to join us today. I don't know if it's an exclamation. I have a message for the Boston Red Sox. Just because I have to do this. I know we could actually sit here and do a 4-hour show on the Red Sox and just rip them up and down to shreds. Exactly.
You don't think it's a smooth operation over there right
now? Oh, my God. What is going on with you people? But anyway, we'll get maybe I'll touch on that later on.
They've only had almost 2 months to close the deal on their leading candidate manager. Only 2 months.
I'm telling you, 99% of the time in baseball, when you interview a manager a second time, you hire that guy. And they let Theo take him away.
Unless another team interviews the same guy.
Take him away. Oh, my God. It is disgusting what is going on at Yawkey Way. No closer. A GM who's a puppet, obviously, to Larry Lucchino, who's running the team. I don't care what he says, what spin they put on it. Embarrassing. Anyway, maybe a little more at the end of the show, later on towards 6 o'clock after I do my picks. But lots of football to talk about today with B-Low. We got lots of, questions already lined up at webradio at patriots.com. You can Facebook us as well at Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. We do fantasy football in the first hour, and call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline if you'd like, 508-298-0398. Well, let's get right into it, B-Low tonight.
Yep.
I think a fascinating game, and you and I are going to disagree on this one right off the bat. But with the Jets and Tebow, and I can't believe I'm about to do this, but I'm going to buy into Rex Ryan this week, and I'm going to buy into that they were so – last year they lost 24-20, or they won 24-20 out there, the Jets did. Should have won by a lot more. They fumbled the ball like twice and put Denver in some good situations. But I can't believe I'm about to say this. God, don't strike me dead. Jet pride. I know. I'm going to talk. I know it's a short week. I know it's a bad place to travel to, but I've got to believe they have to be angry as hell at how they came out against the Patriots, how they play, all that stuff. I mean, the Patriots did it to them basically, but I would be saying the same thing for a couple of other teams, but I cannot wait to see Tim Tebow try that same horse crap offense with this defense. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think not going to say it's going to be like it was against Detroit, but I think it could end up. I think it could be. To me, one or two scenarios are going to happen. Denver's going to win big, or Tebow's going to get pummeled.
Well,
that's what I think is going to happen. I mean, I'm sure we're depending on what Jet team shows up.
Some people might say that if Tebow gets pummeled, Denver will win big because a normal quarterback will jump in there. So it could be both. But
when you saw those numbers last week,
2 for 8. It was embarrassing.
I've never seen anything like it.
It was,
but good fantasy numbers again.
Well, he had good
or decent fantasy numbers.
He had good rushing numbers, and he had a one long touchdown pass and no interceptions. So he certainly held his own fantasy wise. And listen, that one touchdown pass was a really good play, a really good pass. You'd certainly wonder, what he's capable of against a secondary like the Jets. But I think, it's about can Denver run the ball well, whether it's with Willis McGahee, who, by the way, in terms of fantasy, it looks like he is going to go tonight, and he's run the ball
really
well.
How healthy is he? How healthy is he going to be? The
last I saw was, it's the hamstring, and it's always a struggle, but he's expected to start. I'm sure he'll be limited to some degree, but, and I don't know if he's a, you might want to find better options at running back, but you also got Lance Ball, and you got Tebow as well. I think it's about can they run the ball? Can they force the Jets? Are the Jets going to load up against the run? And if they do, does Tebow have any ability to figure out what the Jets are doing and exploit any holes on the Jets defense. And, you know, there aren't always that many, especially with Darrell Revis roaming back there. But I think it's a tough spot for the Jets tonight. I think there's something to the idea of going to Denver on a short week coming off a Sunday night game.
I agree with that.
And, you know, the Jets, you know, the
if
Jets
they weren't humiliated
the
as badly as they were, I maybe would rethink my position.
True.
But I think they were humiliated, and I think Tebow, they're going to take it out in his head tonight.
Well,
I really do, or his body.
Yeah, there's that possibility, certainly. But, you know, it was around midnight Sunday night that the Jets were walking off the field, Rex Ryan F-bombing fans. That was only 3.5 days ago.
All I said was Bill's better than you. I think it was halftime when that happened.
Oh, was it halftime?
I think it was halftime, but still.
Well, it's pretty embarrassing for the coach to respond.
It was beautiful.
To play. It was great.
I love it.
Was great.
It's all over my Facebook page.
You know, late, you know, a Sunday night game that goes to about midnight. And they're on the practice field on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. They traveled yesterday. Denver's a tough spot to get acclimated to. I think that levels things out a little bit in Denver's favor. And listen, the Jets are more talented than the Broncos. There's no question about that. But I think Denver has a chance to surprise some people tonight. I do.
I think it's possible. It's very difficult because of the reasons you just cited about which Jets team is going to show up. I'm going to go on the strictly anger, emotion, and they just want to pummel this. I think this guy fits into a perfect spot for them tonight, unfortunately for Tebow. But I just don't see this option offense working against the Jets. They're obviously going to make him throw. But one thing from a fantasy standpoint, Brian, we can probably agree on. Out of all the defenses in every game, remember, fantasy starts tonight.
Yeah.
I think you have to, whether you think they're going to win or not, you got to roll the dice and take the Jets defense tonight against that quarterback. You have to.
Yeah, I mean, you do. The Jets are an okay defense for tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not a they're not a week in week out at this point slam dunk defense.
No, and, but tonight though against this quarterback because just don't see him putting up any big chunks of yardage on him.
Yeah, it's a weird conundrum because you know that or you're pretty safe to assume that Tebow won't have a lot of passing.
Are you ready for this? I'll make another prediction for you. Yeah. Tebow doesn't make it through the game.
Injury or benched by John Fox?
Maybe both. But I'd go with injury first. I'd say he doesn't make it through the game.
Yeah, and then it's either
he barely
Kyle
made it through
or...
Detroit. He barely made it through Detroit. And I don't think it'll be that bad tonight, but I just think that the Jets are going to come out absolutely, mad dogs, as Lawrence Taylor used to say.
Yeah, well, they have that in them. They definitely have that in them, and they might be able to feed on that.
And I'll be rooting for Denver. I hope Denver wins 52-0. I'll be rooting for Tebow tonight like crazy, and I'm going to say a prayer, light a candle, all that stuff. I know you have the Jewish faith, but it doesn't matter. You can pray.
I understand.
Pray to any God that you believe in around the country.
You're going to be Tebowing tonight?
I'll be Tebowing tonight. Yeah, I will be.
Some people might be Tebowing the game. Some people be Tebowing during the game.
But it is going to be a fascinating game to watch.
So.
I'm glad. It's not,
of the more fascinating games in the entire slate this week, I think. There's a couple of games that just don't really stand out to me as really intriguing games. I think tonight's
Seattle,
game is
St.
one
Louis
of them.
Doesn't intrigue you?
Let's pass on that one. Buffalo-Miami is kind of blah.
Now I think that's one that could be some fantasy points in that one because I think the Bills are in trouble and Miami's on fire a little bit. They're against bad teams, but they're playing.
I think it might be a low-scoring game. I think that might be a low-scoring game.
I don't know. No. I think Buffalo's going to put up some points in that one. But it all depends on Miami's what they can do. Yeah. But I've got some confidence now. The Bills are really – I think Buffalo definitely puts up some points in that game.
Yeah, Fred Jackson's a monster, and Fred Jackson alone can get the job done.
But, I'm going with that pride factor thing again.
Yeah.
As teams
– Jet pride.
I mean, Buffalo getting humiliated, coming crashing back down to earth like I thought they would. But I think Chicago-San Diego could be interesting.
Oh, that's an interesting game. An interesting game because San Diego, they're lucky that division is so weak and that everybody's got five wins or four wins. They could in another division, in other circumstances, they could be done. I think they might be done if they can't beat the Bears, and that's a tough matchup for them too because the Bears are playing really well.
And another game that could be fascinating to me is Baltimore home against Cincinnati, and Flacco. Doesn't play well against crappy teams, but plays well against the better teams.
Right,
he's too inconsistent.
They have come out strong in the week after these games that they've lost, and they've lost some duds this year. And so, falling to Seattle last week, I think they come out and I think they give Cincinnati their second straight loss and put Cincinnati down a couple pegs.
before we get to the emails, and how many people you think will have, in some way, shape, or form, the legendary Tyler Palko on their team this week?
Very few, I hope. You've got to be pretty desperate. Now, like I've said in the past, I am in a league that has two quarterbacks. You start two quarterbacks. It's kind of unique. Mm-hmm. It really puts a challenge out there, especially, you think about it, there's 12 teams in our league. That's 24 quarterbacks, and on a week where there's buys, there might only be 26 teams going, but Tyler Palko should be nowhere near any fantasy starting. In fact, the Patriots defense, the 32nd-ranked Patriots defense, should be picked up in fantasy for this week and
absolutely,
for the future.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at some of the schedule. You know, they've got Indy coming up soon. I probably wouldn't trust starting them against Philly next week, but Washington, mm-hmm. There's some teams you'd want to start the Patriots D. Yep. So I know, I'm certain that the Patriots D has been a big pickup in fantasy this week.
I agree. All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline real quick, 508-298-0398. Here's Donald in Marietta, Georgia. Donald.
Hey, how you doing, Pete and Brian?
We're doing great.
What's up, Donald? What do you got?
Yeah, I was just listening to you guys. Oh, by the way, it's a T-shirt and shorts weather down here, just in case you want to know.
Well, it's freezing rain and shrunken testicles here, so it's it's not fun.
Boy, did it change from morning to afternoon today.
But you were talking about the Jets and the
Broncos. Yep.
You got one thing you might have not thought of is just besides Tebow, the Broncos have the best rushing offense in the league, and the Jets give up a lot of yards to running teams.
Yeah, well, that's, mm-hmm. The Jets are coming off a pretty good run defensive performance. And you're right. Denver's right up there. I think they're second in the NFL in rushing, in terms of the rankings, but they've been very good. Willis McGahee has been a real find for them. You know, Moreno is down now for the year, but Lance Ball came in last week and gave them some pretty good production. And obviously having Tebow at quarterback has boosted the running game in terms of the numbers. So you're right. I think that's where this game could be won or lost, really, for the Broncos, is in their offensive running game. Can they make things happen in the running game?
Exactly. That's why I didn't think you should just leave it hanging that, oh, it's all Tebow, because there's more to them than that.
Absolutely. I just think it's going to be fascinating to see whether they can run that option offense against this Jets defense, and I say it's not going to work. I say he's going to have to throw the ball, and maybe he has success throwing the ball. I don't know. I mean, certainly you could throw against these Jets linebackers, but Tebow and his technique and
Have three fewer days to prepare. And this is a tough It's a tough team to prepare for because of the unknown and how unique Tebow is. Whether he's good or not very good, or you consider him being an elite quarterback.
No, true.
There's the triple option.
You're preparing for Navy, basically.
Right. Preparing for the Broncos.
He's an elite runner, but not an elite quarterback.
Preparing for that offense on a short week, I think, puts the Jets in a tough spot. And contributes to what could be a Broncos win, I think.
I'm going the other way.
I can see that.
I'm in the minority. I'm in the minority.
Oh, I don't think. I think it's a great point you make. I'm going to buy into Rex Ryan's BS this week, and the fact that I think the Jets are going to come out like mad crazed dogs, and that could also end up working against them because they could commit stupid penalties and put Denver in situations that maybe they wouldn't normally be in. They have to really keep their emotions in check and just take it out on Tebow.
Well,
we'll see.
This game, I have to start Sean Green as a running back as a bye, and I don't think he's going to do much.
Haven't been impressed with him of late. He's had a couple of okay
Buffalo game. He was good. Yeah.
No, he's had a couple of good ones. Not as much last week. I don't love him this week, but depending on who else you have, Sean Green's an okay play.
That's all I got.
All right, Donald, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. Anyway, let's get to the email questions. Lots of them lined up for you, B.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Quick couple of questions. If I win this week, I'm a lock for the playoffs.
I Woo-hoo! Love it. We're starting to get into that period of time here. Yeah.
See, I'm definitely doing this next year. You guys have sold me on it. I got to get back into it. I did it for 3 or 4 years in a row with my friends in the North End. We used to have a great time, and we always missed the playoffs by a game.
Yeah,
but I'm ready to do it again next year. I'm getting back into it. Best defense this week: Jets versus Denver, Bears versus San Diego, Patriots versus Kansas City, Jaguars versus Cleveland. Ooh, those are some pretty good.
Yeah, those are some good ones. I mean, the Patriots and Jaguars are sort of the two defenses that you might be able to pick up off the waiver wire this week, because there hasn't been much need to have the Patriots on your roster. And Jaguars against Cleveland is a pretty good matchup. So, I like the Patriots and Jaguars both in terms of the matchup play. Bears. I've liked overall, but I still have this feeling that one of these weeks San Diego is going to bust out. And maybe it's this week. They're on the road. It's a tougher matchup. Like I've been saying, I don't love the Jets. I might put the Patriots up there because I think this is a game where I think they're going to have, three or four interceptions in this game. And I'm sure the Chiefs will score a couple touchdowns because every team does against the Patriots. There's a little bit of a, it is still Sterling Moore and Antoine Molden and Phillip Adams out there. But I'd probably go with the Patriots of those. I really would.
Which wide receiver should I pick up and play? Earl Bennett, Eric Decker, Laurent Robinson, Denarius Moore.
Well, I like Robinson quite a bit. We talked a little bit about Robinson last week, and I didn't expect him to have two touchdowns. But here's one thing to keep in mind about
that. You nailed it, or Mike did?
No, Mike nailed it. Mike said he picked him up and went all in, and it was a great pickup. It was a great pickup. He had a huge week. The one thing you got to remember about Laurent Robinson, he did have two touchdowns last week. There were only three passes thrown to him. He caught all three. Mm-hmm. So you've got to take into consideration that he wasn't as big a part of their offense as the numbers look like. He had two touchdowns, and he was a great pickup and had a huge week. And I wouldn't be stunned if he gets in the end zone again against Washington, but I just don't know how big of a part of the offense is going to be. Decker, it's hard to love Decker. It's hard to love any wide receiver on this Broncos team. I mean, he had the touchdown last week, and who's to say he won't have another one, but it's hard to bank on that. I think Denarius Moore is a really interesting guy with Oakland because they're playing Minnesota, a terrible pass defense, and I really think Carson Palmer last week against San Diego, by the way, Oakland has an extra couple days to prepare. Carson Palmer really did well, including passes to Denarius Moore. I'd pick up Moore and play him of those four that are mentioned.
And finally, from Higgy and Hopkinton, flex to play, Murray, Blount, or A.J. Green. He says, I'm concerned about the return of Felix Jones and Green's injury.
Yeah, there's definitely reason to be concerned about Green's injury. And the last I saw, he was held out of practice on Thursday. The vibe seems to be that he might not play. So right now, I think you've got to rule out A.J. Green. Between Murray and Blount, I'm probably going to lean toward Murray right now. Blount hasn't had huge impact since he came back from his injury. I still think he's going to be okay. But I'd say Murray this week. Murray has been a real find for Dallas, and until there's reason to think he's slowing down, I think you got to go Murray. So I'd go Murray.
Brian at UNH says on webradio at patriot.com, hey, B-Lo, you helped me get a win with your advice a few weeks ago.
Love hearing that.
Where's your cut, by the way? I'd ask again with a very important game for me this week. I need to choose a flex spot, wide receiver spot, and a quarterback spot in my PPR league. Choice for wide receiver and flex, Percy Harvin, Jackie Battle, Damian Williams, Nate Washington, Elder Set.
So I think it looks like one wide receiver and one flex among those. So I would say, boy, I really have liked Damian Williams. He's been a real red zone threat. He's scored now in, he scored three or four touchdowns in the last few weeks. So I do like him a lot. Hard to sit Harvin. I know Christian Ponder is the quarterback right now. Had a terrible performance last week. I'd probably go Harvin and... Battle's a tough call for this week for me. He's been okay, only okay. The Chiefs just don't score rushing touchdowns. They have three all year. So I don't think I love Jackie Battle this week. And Early Doucette, it's interesting with Early Doucette. I've been high on him all year. Mm-hmm. But with Skelton, it's been more Fitzgerald and Andre Roberts. Andre Roberts has gotten a big boost with John Skelton.
Sure.
Without having watched all of these Arizona games, I don't know exactly why that is. But Roberts has taken on a little bit more of a role, Doucette down a little bit. I'm actually going to go Percy Harvin and Damian Williams if it's one wide receiver and one flex.
Skelton comes in last week and they beat the Eagles.
Eagles.
Just hysterical.
Hysterical. Kevin Cobb on the sideline, and you wonder, if Cobb was playing, do they win that game?
That's going to be a blow to some fantasy people, right? Obviously, Cobb.
And Skelton is, he's got decent numbers. I mean, you're not going to pick him, if you're picking him up to start him. I mean, you obviously have, and we should get into some of these wide, these quarterback
injuries.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got Matt Schaub, you got Matt Castle, you got Michael Vick, who I saw one report about an hour ago.
I mean,
I saw one report an hour ago. A reporter said, just saw him a minute ago. He could barely walk.
Yeah.
That was this afternoon.
I don't think if he play, I mean, what I think will happen, they'll say game time decision, knowing full well he's not going to play.
Yeah. And then that, you know. Vince Young.
Brian also in New Hampshire says that. With Big Ben on bye, I have Alex Smith already, but I picked up Vince Young off waivers. So the question is, if Vic doesn't play, do I go Smith or Vince Young?
You go Smith. You definitely go Alex Smith. I think he's just the safer guy. He's been putting up decent numbers. They play Arizona. It's definitely Smith. I don't like Vince Young at all.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, if Vince Young plays, they're playing the Giants, forget it. The way the Giants can rush the passer, I don't care. I don't care. And he hasn't played in a while. No chance. I don't endorse Vince Young even being on fantasy roster.
I don't endorse Vince Young being in the National Football League. I think he's one bad handoff away from having a nervous breakdown at any given time.
He's had his nervous breakdowns. You're right about that.
Hey, Pete and Bilo, I need to pick up two of this from Manny in Miami. You need to pick up two of these three wide receivers. I got DeSean Jackson, Greg Jennings, or Plaxico Burress. I know I hate the Jets too, but it was either Draft Burress or Hines Ward. So thanks, Manny in Miami. So you got to put your emotions about how you feel about different teams aside when there's, you know, some shekels on the line for
fantasy
football.
There's no question about that. Okay, well, if it's DeSean Jackson, Greg Jennings, Plaxico Burress, and you need two of them, it's a no-brainer. It's Jackson and Jennings. No-brainer. I kind of like Burress tonight. I actually have him on one of my teams, and you know, he... You know, he had that one huge game of 3-4 weeks back, three touchdowns. He had the touchdown against the Patriots last week. I like him to score a touchdown tonight. I definitely think he's their number one guy inside the 20, and I think the Jets will get inside the 20 tonight. So I like Burress, but I definitely like DeSean Jackson and Greg Jennings ahead of him. As far as drafting either Burress or Hines Ward, you made the right call if it was between Burress and Ward. Ward, you know, looks like his days might be done.
Todd in Jacksonville says, Pete and Bilo, how you doing?
Which
quarterback would you start this week? Stafford and his busted finger versus Carolina, or Palmer versus Minnesota? Let's start with that. That's a no-brainer, too.
That's a no-brainer to you?
Yeah.
Stafford?
No, Palmer.
Oh, Palmer.
I start Palmer.
Really? Yeah. I think I'd give the edge Palmer, but I wouldn't go no-brainer. You know, Stafford... He's got an injury. They had a bad performance last week, and I buy into Palmer, especially this week against Minnesota. So I give the edge to Palmer. But if Stafford plays, I mean, I don't think he's a bad play.
No, I don't think he's a bad play. I think Minnesota stinks.
Well, Minnesota does.
I think Palmer impressed me last week. You know, it's such short notice, but. You know, maybe it was a change of scenery that he needed, but I think he's going to light up Minnesota.
Well, I do too. I think he's a great start this week, no question about it. But I wouldn't just write off Stafford. You know, he's got Calvin Johnson. I mean, enough said. But he does have a bit of an injury concern, as he always does. But I agree with you that I'd give the edge to Palmer.
Also, he says, Vincent Jackson is absolutely killing me. Would you start Cruz over V-Jax this week?
No, I don't think I would.
Cruz had a birthday party.
He might be spooked a little bit
Got shot or was at a nightclub in New York this week. Davis Bell is celebrating his birthday. In fact, one of the linemen for Brandon Albert from Kansas City was there as well.
Oh, is that right?
He was there in the club. The players had nothing to do with it.
Right.
But
what did Tom Coughlin say? Nothing good happens after 2:30?
No, never. Never.
Well, you know, Vincent Jackson has been a frustrating guy this year because, you know, he had huge performance week two against the Patriots. Big performance about 2 weeks ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's really struggled, and I think a lot of that is Philip Rivers. But I'd go Vincent Jackson this week. You know, they're playing the Bears, a good defense, but I wouldn't sit Jackson for Cruz, no.
Another one from emailing at webradiopatriot.com. It's from Brian the Fox. Which two of the following should I start? Felix Jones, Tebow, or Blount?
Interesting that a quarterback is part of the mix of maybe he counts as a running back in this league. I would say it's got to be Tebow and Blount.
I just don't like saying the name LeGarrette.
LeGarrette.
Like, I don't say
my brother's name is Garrett.
Garrett.
Yeah.
But something about LeGarrette is.
When we first discovered.
As Feinfeld would say, sounds a tad dainty.
When my brother and I first discovered this player named LeGarrette Blount 3-4 years ago with Oregon, well before his helmet throwing incident, we're like, well, what is there any name out there that you can't just put, you know, the le in front of it? I mean, LeBron.
LePete, yeah.
So we've always gotten a kick out of that name, but it's Tebow and Blount. If you've got to pick two out of those three, you know, Felix Jones is not going to have a huge role. I mean, he's been injured, but not going to have a huge role as long as DeMarco Murray is performing as well as he has. So,
however, it does say now, following from Brian, also underneath says, my league has big penalties for incompletions and interceptions, but good points for rushing yards and a huge bonus for 150 passing yards. Now, that being said right there, do you still go with Tebow?
Big penalties for incompletions and interceptions. Well,
he doesn't throw a lot of incompletions because he doesn't throw a lot of passes.
Well, if you're concerned, so if the concern for Brian here is he's going to have so many negative points. See, I think the negative points for incompletions and interceptions, but big positive points for rushing yards and 150 passing yards. You know, Tebow is no Sherlock for 150 passing yards, but it's possible. I would say that probably still gives Tebow positive points overall because he's going to get the rushing yards. So without knowing exactly how many points that is, I still don't think Felix Jones is not going to have anything for you. So if you're truly concerned that Tebow's going to have negative, then go Felix Jones, I guess. But that's no fun. Go Tebow. Go Tebow.
And the pressure because of tonight's game, Brian, because it's on Thursday night on NFL Network, how much pressure is that in the fantasy world? Because the game's on national, it's the only game in town. People want to see, if it's kind of a mediocre pick, go with it. But just because it's tonight, they want to jump out to that early lead.
Yeah.
Psychologically, how does that play into the fantasy football cranium?
Well, you got a couple different tiers of players. You've got your must starts, and in this particular game, it's kind of interesting because there really are no. There's really no must start, honestly, on either one of these two teams. So you almost eliminate that category. So for me, like I just mentioned Plexico Burress, and I was looking at my roster, and I have a couple of options at that one wide receiver spot. But I give Burress a little bit of a leg up. But for me, it's kind of fun to watch that Thursday night game and get that head start. Certainly, it's a huge bummer if you get a guy in there and he doesn't play well. But you can't really let that cloud your judgment. Oh, it's a Thursday night game. Let me get off to a hard.
Yeah, you can't win it on Thursday.
No, you're not going to win it on Thursday. Yeah. You don't want to take a huge risk and just say, oh, you know what? I can't wait to watch this game. Let me start this random guy just to give a little bit of an extra feel to this game. But you know, I think it's enjoyable to watch that Thursday night game, have something on the line fantasy-wise, some kind of a rooting interest. But, boy, is it a bummer if it doesn't work out for you.
Finally, from Brian Olson, which two of the following should I start? The Trent Cole, Julius Peppers, Justin Tuck. Thanks, guys. I love all you both that you love all that you both do.
Well, great. I'm no defensive fantasy expert, so it's hard for me to say. My gut, my instinct would say Peppers and Tuck. Peppers, I don't see why, Peppers against San Diego, I can't imagine sitting him. I like Cole too, but I'd go Peppers and Tuck, but, I'm not the expert when it comes to defense.
Let's head to our buddy, Poker Mike, who's on with us on the A-Stick and Hotline. Hey, Mikey.
Pete, Bilo, how you doing?
Mike. Happy your two touchdowns from Lauren Robinson.
I'm not even, I wasn't even going to bring it up. I was going to let you guys bring it.
I brought it up.
I already gave it to Pete last night when I talked to
you. I'll give credit.
Yeah, you gave it to me dealing the cards, too.
I know. What a tough night for
killed
him,
me.
You.
Yeah. I'll give credit where credit's due.
It wasn't good. But no, it was, every once in a while you pull a rabbit out of your hat. And the past 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago it was Michael Bush. You know, this is what we're doing here. We study these games. We look at these matchups, and you kind of see who's up and coming.
Right.
And the Robinson pick, I mean, Bilo, you were right on the money. I mean, aside from the touchdowns, he only had three targets.
Yeah,
and he caught them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was a great pickup by you. And I think he must have gotten, I don't know, about 15, 16 points for you if it's
a
standard.
In that range.
Yeah, in that range, which is phenomenal for a free agent, waiver wire pickup. But you've got to wonder about those three targets. And is that a result of, okay, Miles Austin is out. We want Dez Bryant to be the guy. I think Lauren Robinson is going to be all right. I mean, but I just don't know that we're going to see a 7-8 catch game out of him.
And, we've said it before. Dallas is clicking. Romo's looking pretty solid. That team is putting up points, and especially at this time of year, you need those just kind of sleepers that you can throw in your lineup, especially with all these injuries.
Right.
Dallas is hitting on all cylinders. Yeah, Dez Bryant gets a lot of attention, but you know, Miles Austin, even when he was in the lineup, he hasn't really been doing much this year. And now that he's hurt, you know, there's just enough. There's enough attention between Dez Bryant and throw Witten in the mix, where this kid can, you know, the play that he made, where he broke free and Romo hit him on the money. I mean,
yep.
He could do it. The matchup this week, moving forward, they got Washington. It could, on paper, it looks like a blowout. So, you know, you have to think if you can get.
I'd be careful with that. I would seriously be careful thinking that, because this, it's a division rivalry, one of the fiercest in all of sports. And I can tell you this right now. I can promise you I'll be taking Washington with a 7.5 at home. Mm-hmm. They got embarrassed last week. And Dallas right now on paper, I mean, they still could put up points, but that is. That's one of those scenarios where I'm telling you, I'll be stunned if Washington doesn't cover that line, which means I think it's going to be a close game.
I don't know that I trust Dallas either. I mean, I think they should win the game, but I'm with you, Pete. If it's 7.5, I might take Washington.
I would definitely take Washington the points in that spot.
I'm absolutely, completely in on the other side of this one, Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you as often, but it actually feels kind of good to do it.
Well, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, again,
I respect the opinions.
No, I've just seen the division rival like that. When you're more than a touchdown and a half underdog at home, and Washington is, I don't like the Redskins at all, but they are certainly capable of hanging in. This is going to be like it's a must-win situation for them, and I still don't completely trust the Cowboys yet.
I don't trust. Yeah, I think the Cowboys win the game, but I don't trust them to stay on a roll. But
because every time you think they're going to get on that roll and look unstoppable is when Romo comes crashing back down to earth and has games like he did, you know, a few weeks ago, where he's throwing picks all over the place.
All right, well, we could sit and argue with this one for a while, but we'll end it with this as far as that game goes right there. I hear you, and even with Washington's defense not being horrible, that offense, you can't really expect too much from it, and Bielo will attest to this.
Yeah. No, I'm
the
with
running
you.
Back issue. Oh. I mean, who's going to beat you on the ground there? You're worried about
who's
going to
play?
Worried about Halu?
It's so hard to figure out who on that team is going to run the ball. I mean, last week, the momentum was for Helu, and Terrain starts. And I can't remember exactly what the breakdown was, but you know, I think they both got, I think Terrain had more carries, but neither one was great. Mm. And now Tashard Choice might actually start getting into the mix. I'll say this also as far as Dallas goes. You know, DeMarco Murray has been tearing it up. He had tied for the most targets for Dallas in that game last week.
Yep.
In the passing game. So, you talk about, well, you know, Laurent Robinson only had three. Well, DeMarco Murray had 7 targets, which is amazing.
I just
38-10. Lock it up.
Wow.
You guys are out of your mind.
No,
anyway,
I'm sorry.
The reins here,
I have seen it too many times before in this rivalry, and it's crazy things happen in this game. I throw basic numbers out the door because it's a rivalry. And it's at Washington. And I just think the Redskins are gonna play tough. I think they're gonna play real tough. But you might be certainly on paper, Mike.
It's a gut. It's a feeling. Yeah. And usually I roll with you, Pete. I told you. I listen to your picks.
Well, that's not my miraculous pick of the week. I'm not doing that till the end of the show. I can tell you that won't be my miraculous pick of the week. I have one much better than that.
All right. All right. Either way. Well, Brian mentioned it earlier. We are in crunch time here.
Yep.
It's like, I don't know where the 10 weeks went, but you know, it's at the point now where you're either sitting pretty with 7 to 9 wins heading into the playoffs, fighting for your playoff life with, you know, 5 or 6 wins, or you're just out of the picture.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something, this has actually been just one of the most craziest NFL seasons that I can remember, and I haven't been around that long, but the beginning of the year with the offense, just the fantasy points that were put up at the beginning of the year was just, it was lights out. Then the injuries hit, and now we're hitting a point in the season where the defenses are figuring it out. And we're not seeing as many fantasy points out there.
Yeah, but except, Mike, you got to remember this, and the Patriots fit right into this argument perfectly, because you're going to see the Patriots put up 30-plus points, in my opinion, the rest of their games. They're going to put up 30 points. So I think you have to take a look at each team's schedule, where they are in the standings and what's going on. The Patriots just went up against 5 weeks in a row of pretty good defenses. That all changes now. And they put up 30-plus points on 2 of those 5 games against the Jets. So now that things get a little bit easier, I think they're going to be. I think Kansas City. I think it's going to be 40 plus on Monday.
That's a laugh. Yeah. It's an absolute. Yeah. What a matchup for the Patriots there. And you just, as far as on the Kansas City side, I mean, I have literally no Kansas City Chiefs marked down. on my sheet here, just because what can you expect from them? Even, you know, with the, I guess there could be points, but no Castle. The running back situation's in mayhem. You have to start Bo. I've thrown Breston on my bench. I just this could be an absolute, and I don't want to jinx them, but this could be a joke of a game
and
here.
And I thought a couple weeks ago, I thought Jonathan Baldwin was going to jump out and really have an impact down the stretch, and I picked him up in one of my leagues, and certainly now I'm regretting that because you know I think even Bo, you know, like you said, you got to start him, but I think you got to be realistic about what kind of impact he's going to have this weekend going forward. It's really a hit the Chiefs, and we touched on earlier all the QBs just this past week alone: Schaub, Castle, Vic. I mean, those are the big three that all went down, or Vic didn't go down, but he's, you know, he might not play this week.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
And then you add in Breeze on a bye, and who am I missing? Roethlisberger on a bye. There are some really tough calls that people have to make at quarterback this week.
And the thing is, though, as far as the quarterback issues that we're having, you know, not just like in my other league, I have Schaub. So I had no choice. I didn't even draft the backup.
Yeah.
So I had to go to the waiver wire, and I wound up with Hasselbeck. It was either Hasselbeck or Dalton. Didn't really obviously don't like Dalton's matchup this week. So I'm and even the Tennessee matchup isn't that great with Atlanta. But it's not just the issue of the quarterback. If you have wide receivers that are on teams with, you know, Houston now, you know, they're turning to Matt Leinart. You know, how do you, even with Andre Johnson coming back, how do you trust these wide receivers? Philadelphia, it's mayhem over there. If Vic goes down, you turn to Vince Young. Not that just DeSean Jackson has been doing much anyway, and now Macklin's hurt. You know, what are these wide receivers going to give you with a backup quarterback? And it's a scary situation. The injuries this year, thankfully for me, and both up until the Schaub injury, I've been sitting in a pretty good spot. I do have AJ Green, and I actually picked up Denarius Moore just in case he doesn't play. But the injuries this year have just been, they'll make you lose your mind. And it's unfortunate to see these guys go down. They're getting hurt. And the week comes up and they're not practicing and they're questionable. And Sunday rolls around. What do you do with Frank Gore? I had a conversation with a few people about Frank Gore that had him in their lineup because they didn't, he was, you know, scheduled to play, and he comes out and he just falls apart. That's a huge hole in your lineup.
Yeah.
I'm babbling below.
Well,
you know?
No. And what you do with Frank Gore is you pick up Kendall Hunter. You find a way to get Kendall Hunter on your team because I'll tell you what, even in games where Frank Gore plays, I think in the next few weeks, Kendall Hunter is going to be solid. You mentioned Matt Hasselbeck, and I'll tell you what, you could do a lot worse. If you have Matt Schaub.
I like him this week, man.
I like him this week, and I like him in quite a few games.
I can't figure the Falcons out. I can't figure it out. I mean, bad coaching last week on both sides, by the way. Peyton and Smith.
Yeah.
Horrible in the last 5 minutes of that game and into overtime, but I can't figure the Falcons out. They're tough.
No, they are. But let me just say on Hasselbeck, I like him this week. They've got Buffalo coming up, a bad pass defense. They've got New Orleans. There's some teams that have scored. And week 15, which in a lot of cases is the first fantasy week of the season, they play Indy. Matt Hasselbeck is a good guy to pick up right now. If you have any kind of a shaky quarterback situation or you just need a backup, I don't know, depending on how deep a league is, Hasselbeck probably isn't available, but if you can swing a trade, Matt Hasselbeck is not a bad guy to have. And along those lines, you talk about guys like Damian Williams, who I think is on the rise, and Chris Johnson. You know, if you've stuck with Chris Johnson, there's a little bit of momentum for him now, and there are some pretty good matchups for Tennessee coming up. And the other good thing about Tennessee is they are probably, forget about probably, I think they're going to be in the hunt for a playoff spot all the way through the season, especially with the Matt Schaub injury now. In fact, you might even be able to say Tennessee should win that division at this point. So I think I think Tennessee offensive players are worth taking a close look at because of some of the matchups they have.
And you're absolutely right as far as the teams playing all the way through. Like, that's going to be huge. We talked about that, I think it was last week.
We did.
That you're in a much better position if your studs are fighting for their playoff lives.
Right.
And I think Tennessee's a perfect example. We talked about the only, you know, between Green Bay and San Francisco, there's nobody really running away with their divisions. So you're going to get the best out of these guys, obviously barring any injuries. But you touched upon it earlier. I'm going to kick you my picks and then I'll let you guys go.
Yeah.
This week is a weird week just simply because there's some good matchups in there, but I mean, nothing really sticks out. You want to circle the Giants in the Philly game, but we just talked about Philadelphia. What are they going to bring to the table? I personally think Dallas is going to put up a boatload of points. It's a tough week.
I'll tell you, Bilo disagrees with me a little bit, but in Miami this week, I think the Dolphins and Bills put up points in that game.
I agree. I like Reggie Bush.
I think they're going to be put up points in that. I don't know what the Bills' mentality, say to mine, is going to be, but I just think that's going to be one of those 35-31 games. And Miami on paper doesn't look like they can do that, but against this Bills' defense and the way the Bills are reeling right now, and I just think it's going to be a more entertaining game than most.
No. It should be a solid game. It's a good AFC game. I mean, well, I don't know if it's a good AFC game, but I don't know. I just don't know that either of these offenses at this point are going to be able to be that explosive. I mean, Fred Jackson alone can do it, but I don't know.
I think a lot of it will be a result of stupid turnovers on both sides, and I think both teams will be put in pretty good positions for whatever reason. So I got a feeling about that one.
It could be ugly. They could surprise us, but either way, in that particular matchup, Reggie Bush, I guess he's becoming a must start. I'd be frustrated if I had to start him just because you don't know what he's going to bring. But
no, he's done well.
He's been solid. We talked about Dallas and Washington. I'm still starting Laurent Robinson in both of my leagues. If you're in a pinch with a wide receiver issue, keep some tabs on Harry Douglas. I know last week, and he's not even worth talking about because usually he's not even on the board. But Julio Jones, they're kind of playing games with him. He obviously showed some promise last week. I think he had like 8 catches for like $130. But, you know, that's a guy right there. Tennessee, middle of the road defense. They're playing at home, Atlanta. I don't mind Harry Douglas. Bilo?
Yeah. No.
I was waiting for you to kick right in there.
Oh, no. Harry Douglas, he had 14 targets last week. 14 targets.
Yep.
That tells you all you need to know. And if Julio Jones, like you said, if he doesn't play, but even if he's limited, that's a guy that Matt Ryan's going to. And he made the most of those 14. I mean, he really did well. He's been a guy that over the 2 or 3 years that he's been around, he's a sneaky sort of a slot guy, but that may have been the breakout performance he needed. I like Harry Douglas.
All right, and I'm going to take it home. Well, two more. We talked about Kendall Hunter, and that is just a juicy, juicy matchup for San Francisco right there.
So right. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Gore's going to play. And even if he does play, he's limited. Kendall Hunter.
I'll tell you what. He shouldn't play because, you know, this is a game that San Francisco should be able to win either way, and then they play on Thanksgiving. So great. You know, if Gore is banged up a little bit, this is a week that he probably shouldn't play. They should rest him.
I agree.
I'm not saying that San Fran should be so arrogant to think that they truly have their division locked up, but they're in such good position right now. They have a pretty good matchup, a game they should win anyways, and they're playing 4 days later. I think Gore is going to be very limited.
Now you bring that up, it's interesting. It has nothing to do with fantasy, but just I got to chime. I mean, I can remember the last time 4 NFC teams played on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Four NFC.
Green Bay, Detroit, and San Fran and Dallas, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't count the Thursday night. I forget it was playing Thursday night, so it's probably there. But, I mean,
well,
it's
San Fran-Baltimore is the night game, right? Because it's the
Harbaugh.
And
Dallas is playing.
Dallas, you know what? I'm not sure.
I have to look it up.
Green Bay-Detroit, which for the first time in forever, Detroit on Thanksgiving is actually relevant, and they're playing a team that might be undefeated at the time.
Pete, go ahead and ask me what my pick of the week is.
Oh, yeah, what is your pick of the week?
I should start charging for these picks now.
Yeah, well, I should charge, too. I gave you Dallas last week, and they went by 37.
Right, you did. I did all right in that game. Go ahead, ask me, Pete.
Go ahead, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week this week, I'm going 3-for-3. I'm not super, super psyched with it, but I got a feeling, and I'm starting him as a flex. He's not as a number two. He's as my flex. I think Maurice Morris has a very, very big week this week. It's a sensational matchup. We watched what Chris Johnson did against Carolina last week. Detroit's kind of up in the air, and I feel as though, as far as I know, Best is nowhere from returning, correct, Elo?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they've ruled him out, but I think they're looking at the following week, or maybe even 2 weeks from now. Don't worry about Best. I like Maurice Morris, too.
He had a tougher matchup last week. Yep. He didn't really bust out, but I think he was up around 50 yards. Just seeing what CJ did last week against those guys. Take it to the bank.
All right.
Maurice Morris.
I like it.
Sounds good.
All right, boys.
All right, Mikey.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling.
We'll catch you next week.
It'll be Wednesday, I think, next week.
Yeah, I think we're going to do Wednesday.
My only show is Wednesday because Monday Night Football, so I won't have a show Tuesday, and Thursday Thanksgiving, which I won't be here.
Yeah.
So we'll do it Wednesday,
Wednesday
Mike.
It is. All right,
we'll
fantasy,
talk to you then. Sounds good.
All right, Mikey, take care. Later. Bye-bye. We got still a lot of emails, so let me get to some right now. Nate, hi, Pete and Brian. I have 2 running back slots and 3 wide receiver slots, plus 1 flex slot. My options are Darren McFadden, Michael Bush, Maurice Jones-Drew for RB, and my options for receiver are Welker, Dez Bryant, Eric Decker, Jordy Nelson, and Chad Ochocinco. Which player would you put in the flex spot?
All right, well, let's get the easy one out of the way. The two running backs, McFadden, Bush, and Jones-Drew. One reporter in Oakland said, can't imagine him playing Sunday under any circumstances as far as McFadden. So it's Bush and Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. That's all you got to worry about. Mm-hmm. Options for receiver. Okay, so Welker, Bryant, Decker, Nelson, Ochocinco, and he needs three of them. It's pretty easy for me. I think you sit Decker and you sit Ochocinco, so that leaves Welker,
totally
Jordy
agree.
Nelson, Dez
yep,
Bryant.
Absolutely.
Decker, I like Eric Decker, but there's not a single week that I can absolutely say, as mm-hmm. long as Tim Tebow's there, that he makes sense. They
no.
threw the ball eight times. He, you know, and then Ochocinco, I'm not giving up on Ochocinco. In terms of the Patriots, but I don't think he'll, at this point in 2011, have fantasy impact. I mean, he might
yeah,
have
agreed.
Some Patriots yep. on-field impact. So Welker, Bryant, and Nelson. Now, he's got to put a flex guy in there. So for flex, among the players he's listing are McFadden, Ochocinco, and Decker. Well, I guess for the flex, you got by process of elimination, I guess you go Decker
mm-hmm.
because even as little as Tebow passes, we've seen the guy that he does throw the ball to is Eric Decker. So we'll go Decker for flex.
I'm with you. Tony says, hey, guys, maybe this question is ridiculous, but no ridiculous questions on this show. But do you think Ocho finds the end zone against a weak KC team? Also, for my lineup, here are my questions. Julio Jones or Harry Douglas? Jackie Battle or Law Firm? Thanks, guys. Well, answer the first question. Yeah. Who the hell knows?
Right.
I don't know.
I'm happy you put it that way.
I mean,
because
who knows?
Would you bet your house on it? No, of
no,
course not.
But he could also score three touchdowns one week,
but
and all of a sudden, you
listen,
know.
Last week, you know, that 50-whatever-yard play,
yep.
you know, he got
yeah.
hauled down, but
yep.
who's to say one other cut and he makes the end zone? So,
yep.
and that was sort of a little bit of a busted play. So, no, I'm not going to bank on Ochocinco
no.
for finding the end zone, but I will say this. He'll find the end zone this year. He will score a touchdown this year. That doesn't say much, but
isn't that unbelievable?
It's
nine
unbelievable.
Games
yeah.
in,
yeah.
he doesn't have a touchdown.
Yeah. His combined, yeah, he's got, yeah, not great. So I wouldn't bank on it. Now, Julio Jones or Harry Douglas, you got to go Douglas at this point. Even if Julio Jones plays, it mm-hmm. seems like he'll be limited. So I'd go Douglas. And like we were saying with Mike, he had 14 targets, eight
yeah,
catches, a
huge.
Big game. And then Jackie Battle or Law Firm, you know, I mean, I guess I'd go Law Firm coming off in a, abysmal performance, but much better chance that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis scores a touchdown
yep.
than Jackie Battle. Nuff
yep.
said, go Battle.
All
I'm
right.
sorry. Nuff said, go Law Firm.
Let's see. William says, that's a question for later on. That's not a... Craig says, hey guys, sorry if you already addressed McGahee. I tuned in late. I'm looking for a little advice for my starting lineup. Pick three. One wide receiver, one running back, one flex. McGahee, Tolbert, then Jones, Robinson, Crabtree, Burris, and Ballard. Thanks for the help, Craig.
Okay, well, McGahee, it sounds like he's going to play, and I'd probably go with him over Tolbert. I just haven't really felt good about Mike Tolbert of late going against Chicago. I would roll the dice with McGahee. I really would. It's a great.
No, I'm with you.
It's a great. It's going to be a very interesting matchup, the Denver running game against the Jets. But I'd go McGahee. Then, as far as the one receiver, if the Jay Jones on here is Julio Jones, you know, it's Julio Jones, Laurent Robinson, Crabtree, mm-hmm. and Burris.
Burris, yeah.
You know, Crabtree is intriguing against Arizona. He's been kind of up and down. There's other guys, you know, Delanie Walker, Ted Ginn, guys who here and there have gotten more targets. He's an interesting one. I kind of like Burris tonight. Laurent Robinson, we've talked about at length. If I had to go with one of those, you know, I'd probably go with Crabtree.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd go with Crabtree because of the matchup. He's got Ballard in here, so as far as the flex spot, you know, Ballard against the Eagles, that's not a bad play.
No, not at all.
I think
anybody against the Eagles isn't a bad play right now.
Eagles.
I mean,
that's yeah.
And don't forget Jared Page, who played here, got released.
Yeah,
I think the Patriots are going to take a look at him.
He
was playing well before
yeah.
he got injured here. Looking
I think,
at the system, he knows the system.
Yeah, I would have to say that it's worth giving him a physical and working him out. You just don't know
yeah.
if maybe he's banged up, but. You've got to figure that if Jared Page could come in and become, you know, starting
yeah.
safety over some of these other guys. So I would think so. So I'd probably go McGahee, Crabtree, and maybe Ballard for the
mm-hmm.
flex.
Erica from Mississippi. What two running backs would you start? Beanie Wells, the law firm Lance Ball. Would you start Gronk or Hernandez?
Well, definitely Gronk. Yeah. You know, Hernandez
certainly capable at any time of having games like Gronk, but right now Gronk is the best tight end of the game.
Exactly. I think Gronk and Jimmy Graham are the two best over all around tight ends, the two best fantasy tight ends. So Hernandez is a good too, but definitely it's Gronk. This is a good interesting running back question because Wells, you know, he's banged up as he always is, and you know, hard to trust that Arizona offense going against San Francisco. I definitely would say Green Ellis should be one of your two because I don't know that he's going to have huge rushing numbers, but I think he finds the end zone. And then Lance Ball, you know, I'd probably hesitate. I think you got to go Wells and Green Ellis. I think Ball showed a little bit last week, but if McGahee's back healthy, McGahee's probably the lead ball carrier. Tebow takes some carries too. I'd go Wells and Green Ellis.
Sounds good. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, here's another one from Josh. Looking for your thoughts on a few guys this week. These three, who would you play at flex? Bo, though he says not much. I mean, he gives an explanation. I just didn't say his names because we know the numbers. Bo, McCluster, or Matthews?
Well, I wouldn't go Matthews. He's been up and down. Chicago, you know, it's a pretty good defense. McCluster is very intriguing, and here's one thing that we don't know, but I think we might find out on Monday night. McCluster could be the perfect guy for Tyler Palko to have as a weapon. Kind of a do-it-all guy. You know, you can probably, you know, run some fairly not-so-complex screen passes and let McCluster do the rest. I think there's some good intrigue with McCluster anyways, but definitely with Palko in there now, I think McCluster could be an interesting guy, and maybe more so than Bo, because you can't feel too comfortable about the downfield threats in the Kansas City offense now with Tyler Palko throwing the ball. So I actually might go Dexter McCluster. I might take a shot at McCluster, and he's one guy that I think could exploit the Patriots defense. I do.
And the other four slots of wide receiver and running back have Rice, Bush, Michael Bush, and Welker, D. Moore, with Brady at quarterback and Gronk at tight end. I am expecting a slaughter. Just a little extra cushioning here. Thanks.
Well, that's a pretty high impact guys. Brady at QB, like you've been saying, I think that's a big performance this week. I think he should be one of the two or three top QBs this week. Gronk at tight end, enough said. Rice and Bush, I mean, that's a great one, too. We saw what Bush did. You know, I was high on, but last week when we were leading into the San Diego-Oakland game, I thought Bush was in for a huge performance, and he did. He did have one. And then Welker, Denarius Moore, I like them both this week. That's a pretty good lineup you got there.
By the way, Dallas playing Miami. So it always has to be an AFC team in there because of the network.
That's right.
Keep forgetting that third game is on Sunday night.
Yep, and it's the Harbaugh brothers. It's the Harbaugh brothers. That's pretty good game. Even if they were both, even if they were 1-10 and 2-9, it would be pretty interesting to see the Harbaugh brothers go up against each other. But that's a huge game. That's a great game.
Well, we got some room here. If you want to email us at webradio@patriots.com, call us on the 8-Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Brian's here for a few more minutes longer, five more minutes or so, or whatever. And so get your fantasy football questions in. He is one of the, if not the best in the biz, and you should take a cut from some of these. So you should get royalties.
Maybe I do.
You know,
maybe I do on the side. Maybe I do. I'll tell you, it really what the biggest storyline this week is the quarterbacks, and you know, to have Vic, Castle, Schaub, Roethlisberger, and Breeze all either injured or having a bye. I mean, that's five of the top guys. I mean, Castle might not be in that top mix, but you know, you've got, I'll tell you, the Schaub thing is really a killer for Houston. Everything was working out. You know, Houston has been this, you know, star-crossed franchise, never making the playoffs and all that, and then they have this opportunity where their division stinks. Indy, the one year that Indy absolutely stinks, Jacksonville's going with a rookie quarterback, Tennessee's mediocre, and Houston jumps out to has a great start, huge improvement on their defense, and now they're looking at Matt Leinart being their hope to get them where they need to go. That's a huge hit.
I mean, Vince Young starting against the Giants could almost be as ugly as Palko against the Patriots. I'm dead serious.
I think that's...
He's that bad.
He's that bad. And I think about what that Giants defensive front is going to be able to do.
He's going to have a nervous breakdown. He's going to have a nervous breakdown.
You know, you might right in the middle of the game.
He gets booed. I mean, it would be great if this game was in Philadelphia to see the home team boo him because he wouldn't know what to do.
You know what? But. And that actually, that's a good point because the Patriots, if they do lose, the Patriots will be in Philly, and imagine that crowd.
Oh.
If the Eagles are coming off losses to Arizona and the Giants and are 3-7, and it's over for them.
Beautiful.
I mean, 3-7 would be over for them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I mentioned Houston and Matt Schaub just now, and they've got a bye week. I'm not ruling out Matt Leinart having a little bit of a resurgence. Stranger things have happened. Think about if Andre Johnson comes back healthy, you know. From a fantasy standpoint, you've got to really be in trouble to have Matt Leinart start.
He would be after Palko might be my second worst choice. I'm not a fan of his game at all.
You know, I should have looked. I don't know who Houston plays next week. I should probably take a peek. Depending on the matchup, you know, I think if Andre Johnson is back, and you think about the running game that they have, you know, that balances things out.
Yeah,
I think Leinart could. Could have a
he fits in that, you know, stay within yourself mode, but he sucks. I mean, he really does. I think
he sucked for Arizona.
He did. I mean, it's just something about his game that I just do not like one bit.
No, it's hard to like it, but I don't know. There's something that tells me that
you might be right.
That with the offense that they have, and the weapons, some of the weapons that they have, he might be okay. He might be okay, Matt Leinart. He might be okay.
I got to look up the tiers. Yeah. Is Houston going to bye week this week?
Houston has a bye this week.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got the bye this week. And I did see that one other email did come in from Harry in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I'll read that one. Hey, B-Low and Pete, everything was going along great this season, and I fell victim to this past week's quarterback injury mess. I lost Schaub, Castle, and Vic on several different teams. Wow. Now I find myself in a dilemma. I've tried to trade for some top QBs with no luck. So now I have to go to the waiver wire, and it looks like I'm going to have to sacrifice some good players to make room for who I bring in. My question is, who would you pick up and in what order? Well, I'll tell you what, and here's who he mentions. Vince Young, Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, Matt Hasselbeck, and Andy Dalton. Thanks again for your help.
Palmer.
This is easy. It's Palmer, absolutely number one, and then Hasselbeck, absolutely number two.
I agree with you.
Go right now, Harry, and pick up Carson Palmer if you can, and if someone else snuck in and got him, go get Matt Hasselbeck for all the reasons we've mentioned. Good matchup this week and some good matchups down the stretch. Then I'd probably go Andy Dalton, number three, but with an asterisk. He's a rookie who started to fade a little bit. And then Leinart and then Young. I put Leinart ahead of Young, but I put certainly, I mean, this is an easy ranking. Palmer, Hasselbeck, Dalton, Leinart, Young.
I'm with you.
That's an easy one.
Houston's remaining schedule, they have the bye this week, as we said. At Jacksonville, then Atlanta at home. Then at Cincinnati, home against Carolina, at Indy, and then home against Tennessee to close out the season.
So there's a couple of good matchups for Leinart, a couple that would be tough. I'm not saying go run out and pick up Matt Leinart right now. I'm just saying that with Andre Johnson to throw the ball to, with Aaron Foster and Ben Tate running the ball, I think he could do okay in that offense.
All right, wow. This hour flew by.
Flew.
We didn't even take a break.
We didn't take a break. Who needs a break?
We don't need a break.
Who needs a break?
We need to pay bills.
So let's remember, Wednesday, next Wednesday, a little Thanksgiving Eve.
Yes.
We'll be able to talk about the three Thanksgiving games and a lot more. So
that's right.
I guess 4-5, right, Kevin? 4-5 on Wednesday?
So that's a huge fantasy Thanksgiving night for a lot of people.
It's fantastic. Three games.
That's great.
And like we've talked, three good games.
Some
good matchups there.
All right, my friend, thank you so much.
R.
Great job, as always. We'll see you next
great
Wednesday.
Being here. We'll
have
see
a
then.
Great rest of your week. Meanwhile, we're going to take a quick break as we do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette's. The Pete Shepherd Show here until 6. Mortimer, Chris Morton's expected to join me at some point next hour from ESPN. Email me, webradio@patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well at Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. We are back with the second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com next.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Ooh, right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Yeah,
It's even better a week later after a thrashing the Patriots gave them, or a little less than a week later, as they gave them a thrashing at the Meadowlands of this week. But on to Kansas City we go. It's the second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here today on Patriots.com. How's everybody? How you doing? Email me, webradio at Patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Or Facebook me at Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. I've got a couple calls lined up. I'll get to that in 2 seconds. Let me just read this email. It's been here for a while. From Gene in Daytona, who says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Pete, I hardly ever disagree with you, and I love your show, but Pete, you are wrong on this one. T-Ball will crush the Jets tonight. Now, remember, Gene from Daytona, Florida. Tim might get beat up tonight, but he will not quit in this game, and his teammates have already came out and said they will not quit on Tim. Now, I never said Tim would quit on the team. That's not in his name. I didn't say that. I think he might have a hard time getting through this one, but we'll see. I have seen this ugly type offense for years at Florida with Tim leading it, and I never liked it, but you know, for some reason it works for Tim, and I have never seen a defense that could stop it. Oh, come on. You know, the SEC is not the NFL. Come on, Gene. Please. If you think Miami and Kansas City is going to be the same type of defense as the Jets tonight, short week or no short week, I think you're in for a pretty rude awakening here. Tim led Florida to 2 national championships with his blah, yada, yada. I know that, blah, blah, blah. You're right about one thing, though, and the Jets will have to knock Tim out of the game. I see that as the only way Denver could lose. Tim reminds me of that kid at school that wants to fight you after school every day, even though you beat him and bloody him up. He is there the next day after school waiting for you. You get so tired of beating him up, you try to make him a friend or you just leave him alone. I kind of feel sorry for Rex and the Jets tonight. Florida Gators 17, Jets 3, Gene in Daytona. Gene, I hope you're right. I hope Tebow and the Broncos win 52-3 tonight. I'm looking at it from a Jet, from both perspectives. I think it's a fascinating game tonight. Fascinating game. Between the Jets and the Broncos. But I'm going by the Jets defense has got to be absolutely so aggravated. Short week or no short week. Denver's a tough place to play. They beat them there last year 24-20. But, again, totally different set of circumstances this time around. I don't see the option offense working for the Broncos tonight successfully. I don't over the long haul, which means Tebow's going to have to throw the ball, which means not good things for Denver in the long run. But I hope you're right. Believe me, I hope you are right. All right, let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. It's Ed in Florida up next here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, I want to change gears here.
Yeah.
Want to get your thoughts on this. I know Parcells is famous for saying, you know, if I'm going to cook the meal, I want to go shop for the groceries.
Yep.
And I think Belichick has, taken that torch and run with it, but my question is, do you think, at some point we got to start questioning these moves? I mean, trading to pick up additional picks is great, but if you never pull the trigger with the picks, especially on the defensive side of the ball, you know, how are we ever going to get back to form and get into a Super Bowl?
Well, let me tell you. No, teams win championships. One defense, if you think the Baltimore Ravens with that defense is going to win at Flacco's inconsistency, it ain't going to happen. The days of winning, as I said, with guys like Dilfer at quarterback with the 2000 Ravens defense, those days are done, at least for the moment. But I'm going to tell you, Chris Morrison's going to be coming out on ESPN, and we're going to bring this up because he had some very interesting comments last week about people need to stop, and people are, I hate to use the John Rook term, but kind of nitpicking about some of the picks, about what Belichick has done. If you look at over the course of his career here with the Patriots and compare it to what every other coach has done during that time, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised and pleasantly pleased. I mean, I know people like to focus on one or two or three things, okay? But you got to look at the entire picture here, the entire picture. And I understand.
For example, last year we trade away Mark Ingram to the Saints. They pick him up. The year before that, we trade with the Cowboys. They pick up Dez Bryant, who could have easily been a replacement for Randy Moss at a third of the cost.
Okay,
the year before that, we pass on the guy who we probably need most right now, Clay Matthews, and trade to Green Bay.
And
Green Bay has been the beneficiary of that pick for the last 3 years.
But look who the Patriots picked up in last year's draft and this year's draft.
I'll give you last year's draft. That's what I'll give
you. What about the draft picks over the years that got Randy Moss and Wes Welker here that they traded? If you everybody
a fifth round pick isn't a, I mean, you know, that's a gift. Anybody's going to do that.
What
fifth round pick for Randy Moss? Anybody and their brother will make that trade.
I'm just telling you, but you can't dismiss that. How about Wes Welker? That was a steal.
Absolutely. I'm saying the last three or four draft classes, when you're trading away Mark Ingram, when you're trading away Dez Bryant, when you're trading away Clay Matthews, you know, I mean, these are the guys that you can build a team around. I mean, let's face it, I'd love Tom to play for the next 10 years, but I'd say that window is probably 3 to 5, realistically. He says he wants to play till he's 40. At the end of the day, it's not an offensive problem. The problem is defense.
This
plug-in guys in and starting 63 different guys, it isn't going to get it done. You've got to have solid corners. You've got to have a safety who can knock somebody's teeth out, and you've got to have somebody who can rush the passer.
Okay, well, first of all, if Andre Carter in the front four of the Patriots defense continues to do what they've been doing, and they've been pretty good, a lot better than people think for the entire season, especially lately, that's going to hide a lot of deficiencies on the secondary. Now, right now, look, what you're saying right now, you can't disagree because of the injuries are so banged up. I think Patrick Chung, though, was a good pick. I think he's going to be a player. I think he hits like a truck. I mean, is he Rodney Harrison? No, but he's still very young. I still think they have, you know, Spikes being out is huge. I think he's one of the most improved players on defense. You still have Mayo, who's not at 100%, not even close. I mean, they're dinged up right now. McCourty's obviously having a down year. Last year he was an all-pro, you know, on his rookie year, and everybody who was complaining about that pick didn't hear from him the entire season because of the year he's having. Now, has he taken a step back this year, and now he's hurt? Yeah, I agree with you. But Kyle Arrington has also stepped up. I'm just saying, right now, it's a good thing the Patriots have gotten through the meat of their schedule, because I promise you, this defense is going to look a hell of a lot better coming over these next 7 weeks because of the schedule they're playing.
Of the strength of schedule.
Yeah, but hopefully but when they get to the playoffs this year, hopefully everybody will be healthy, and I think you're going to see some different results. That's all I'm telling you. Now I know you can. I understand what you're saying. You make valid points. I'm not disagreeing with some of the things you say.
Pete,
but you're not.
All I'm going to say is I'll just close on this. No Ty Law, no Lawyer Malloy, no Richard Seymour, no Teddy Bruschi.
So what?
No Willie McGinnis.
So what?
So what?
You can't do that.
They got us three rings, brother.
I could say that about every single team in the National Football League. Every single team has holes. Every single one
Eventually, you got to replace the talent. That's the point.
Okay. So far, I think Mayo and Spikes to me has been the most improved player on defense this year so far, coming around. I think Ninkovich has a lot of what Vrabel had, does a lot of good things out there. Now, they're not the 2003-2004 Patriots. They're not agreed on defense. But I think to completely dismiss all these guys and just throw them under the bus, I mean, that because of net yardage stats that Green Bay is barely behind the Patriots in, is crazy, because they're basically in the middle of the pack in points allowed, and that's all you should care about.
It's not the run defense, and everybody in the league knows that the way you beat us is you throw on us. Because we don't have a rush. Up until last week, we didn't have a pass.
That's not true. You can't see you make blanket statements like that, and you think every game is that way.
Listen, when a guy equals his sack total for the year in one game, I don't know. I don't know what you call that, but, you know, he had a great game.
Wait a second.
Just
because you have a bunch of sacks in a game, okay, does not mean you're not getting a pass rush. Go back to some of the other games. They've had pass rushes. Now, maybe they haven't gotten to the quarterback and sacked them, but they've had pass rushes. Has it been inconsistent? Yeah, it's been inconsistent, but you can't do it. You can't paint this black and white picture strictly pass or fail every single week. The league does not work that way. And I know you focus on
what you're saying.
I know you focused on the Patriots and all that stuff, but you know what? You know, they just beat a pretty good team on the road, you know, and the defense with a bunch of nobodies out there that nobody knew about. You know, played pretty well.
Yeah, they did. I guess I'm still bitter from that Giants loss there.
Well,
I just hate Eli.
Well, wait a second. But, I mean, the bitter loss, I mean, but blame some talented players for that one. Asante Samuel let a pickle right through his hands. Merriweather at the time was playing decent, let the ball go through his hands earlier in that game.
Yeah, I guess my point is.
And Jarvis Green should have been credited with a damn sack. If any other game would have been a sack. So
my point is, how do you get a number 31 with a pass interference call right at the end? Who's number 31 and why is he on the field? I guess is the larger point that I'm making.
Oh, you're talking about this Giants game.
Well, to put it down on the wall.
Well, I know. What happened was Chung got hurt.
I mean, you got Ty Law back there. You got Lawyer Maloney.
All right, but
yeah,
but that's we're talking about the past. We're talking about that Chung got hurt and Sergio Brown had to come in and made a. You're right. It was a horrible, stupid play. Horrible. That if Chung were in there, probably would not have happened, and it cost us the game. I totally agree with you. It was frustrating.
I'm just saying that since Pelosi, you know, left and went to KC.
You mean Pioli?
Pioli. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, since he went to Kansas City, I just think maybe you know. Bill's wearing too many hats. He's trying to do too much. And I think if there was one gentleman there who knew personnel and could say, Bill, I'm thinking of this guy and this is why. What do you think?
Yeah. Well,
rather than him trying to wear 15 different hats and just concentrating on putting the best team that he can on the field based on the picks he has.
Okay.
Rather than trading away Mark Ingram, Dez Bryant, Clay Matthews, those picks. I mean, listen, other than Solder, who we picked up, which everybody scratched their head at 16 saying, why are we picking this guy? Well, I agree with that. Hey, Matt Light's not going to be around forever.
And people scratch their head about Mayo. They scratch their head about McCourty. They scratch their head about Vollmer. They scratch their head about a lot of things. You had writers here scratch their head about Richard Seymour back in the day. I mean, you know, it's just, if you, I'm just going to say, if you look at the overall body of work, you'll find that the Patriots are.
He's above average. Absolutely.
Way above average.
We got spoiled, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's part of it.
A certain level, and when they don't live up to that level, you start questioning, well, who's this guy? Why is that guy there? I understand injuries. Injuries are part of the game. But I'm talking about drafting key people. At some point, somebody passed on Clay Matthews. I guess he saw something better than Clay Matthews.
Or he thought better
at that position in the game.
Well, it looks at if you look at Clay Matthews' stats this year compared to last year, they're not even close. If you want to go that route, go look at the numbers compared this year to last year.
I'd still like to have him though.
I'm with you. I like Clay Matthews, but for whatever reason, they didn't think he'd fit into whatever system of defense they were going to play. I mean, look, there's a million reasons why players get passed on by certain teams every year. How does Aaron Rodgers fall all the way down to 20? You know?
How does Tom Brady fall to 199?
Well, that. How does Joe Montana make it to the third round? You know, it's
we just got to get Tommy's fourth ring. I just want him to be tied with Montana.
Yeah, we're going
to
get it.
He's going to get rings ever. We got to get it.
He's going to get it. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. 508-298-0398. Let me tell you something I brought this up yesterday. I'm just telling you. You know, Scott Pioli's a great guy. He's a great player personnel guy. All that stuff. The bottom line, it's Belichick. The bottom line. And I know for a fact that they disagreed on a couple of things. And you would expect that over the years. That Bill, I can honestly say, overrode Scott on a few things. And thank God he did. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to mention names or who. But there's a lot of information out there that people, you know, because Scott Pioli was here and he did everything and all this play. Let me tell you something. The bottom line is a guy down the hall making the calls. And for the most part, he's done a damn good job here. And yes, you can, and the caller from just brought up some good points. And I understand some of the frustration. I know a lot of it is because we have been spoiled over the years with it. And I'm going to get into it with Mortimer when he calls in a few minutes from ESPN, so we can go through it, because he brought this up last week, either on the radio or on TV, and it was fascinating. Here's Chad in Sweden on the Ace Chicken Hotline. Chad,
hey, what's up?
Hi, Chad. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, I just wanted to make a prediction on the Kansas City game, and I'll respond to that. To that Gruber who just called.
No. He brought up some very good points. He brought up some very good points
well,
that a lot of people.
Some good points.
Okay.
So, anyway, now I'm mark my word, but again, it's based on if.
Mm-hmm.
But I say if we have Spikes, McCourty, and Chung that are starting versus the Chiefs, when I look back, and I know every game is different, but when I look at that same Colts game.
Yep.
And the Saints literally blasted the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I say if we have those guys on our team, Patriots score minimum 65 points.
You mean on Monday night?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Well?
But we don't have those guys, so I say they score minimum 40 points.
I think they're going to put up 40 myself. I think they're going to put up 40. 60 would be a lot for an NFL team, but I mean, certainly Patriots in 07 put up 56. They put up 50 against Tennessee a couple of years ago, and I mean, I guess it's possible, but that would really take they'd have to score like every 35 seconds. but I think it'll be 40. I think they put up 40 on Kansas City this Monday night. I do.
Yeah.
But
now another thing I want to to treat is, you know, I'm sick and tired of the Patriots' defense is disgusting and all that. Listen, apart from the Buffalo game, we haven't. No team has scored 30 points on us. In fact, no team has scored over 24 points against our defense.
Yep, they're averaging 22.
Our defense, our defense is playing well.
Well, they're playing. They played well.
Buffalo game with Brady threw four picks. Well, Brady has to throw four picks.
Mm-hmm.
Four picks for the other team to score 40 points on us.
Yeah, and they got 24 points off picks in that game, Buffalo did. But,
yeah,
I mean, they played much better in the Giant game. Unfortunately, Sergio Brown had that stupid interference penalty. It really killed them. Otherwise, those numbers would have looked a lot better because they really played pretty well for the most part. They obviously played well last week against the Jets. And, you know, the Pittsburgh game was okay. I mean, they held that team for mostly field goals, and the offense couldn't get on the field. They were only on the field for barely 19 and a half minutes, so... I do think you see some improvement. I think you're going to see a lot more just because of the team that they're playing. I just hope they can get healthy, healthier quickly here because, you know, for the playoffs. That's all I wanted to do is just be pretty healthy for the playoffs. That's all. But they're lucky this week. I'm glad this week, like they're not playing Green Bay or somebody with that defensive backfield. The fact that they're playing, you know, Tyler Palko at quarterback is a big plus. And the rest of the way, for them, I mean, they should run the table here and win their next seven, I believe. And the offense, to me, is going to put up a lot of points, which means a lot of teams are going to be playing from behind, which means they're going to have to throw the ball a lot, which means they become one-dimensional, which means the Patriots' defense will probably look a lot better over the next several weeks. And I think that'll be the case. What you'll get from the haters will be, well, they haven't done it against a real team. They played a bunch of stiffs in the South 7 weeks, and now we have to wait and see if they can do it in the playoff. That'll be the line from the haters out there. But
that's the whole question, if they can stay healthy. And if they stay healthy, they can play well. And they play well. That's the whole thing. Secondly, my last point is, listen, you got to stop with the pass rushers. Look, the Rams drafted Robert Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that Steph Bradford is injured every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Every week he's injured. In fact, he hasn't played. Why? Because that offensive line is awful.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the Lions, I don't know what went through their mind, but last year, Stafford was injured all the time. I mean, he couldn't stand on his 2 feet.
Yeah.
And what do? They draft a defensive tackle where they need to draft offensive linemen. I mean, this is ridiculous.
No, I'm with you.
It doesn't get you anywhere.
No, well, I'm with you. So, but
the Rams, they drafted Robert Quinn and Andrew and Paul did. Oh my goodness! Oh, Robert Quinn, you have to take it. Well, look where they are now.
Well, I know. I look. I mean, the draft is a much bigger crapshoot, I think, than people want to believe. I mean, from the first round all the way to the seventh. I mean, I'm just saying. Overall, I think Bill gets. It's real easy now because the net yardage numbers don't look as good, and people focus way, way, way too much on that. But I think you're already seeing an improvement over the last three or four games. So, all right, Chad, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Got to take a quick break, and then Chris Mortensen from ESPN is going to join us here, and we'll get his thoughts. All right, it's the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Back with Mortimer after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And welcome back here. Final half hour of the Pete Shepherd Show. Final half hour for the week here on the Pete Shepherd Show. And joining us right now is the great from ESPN, Chris Bortenson. Hi, Mortimer. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. If anybody on the planet has seen any kind of footage before he got released from the California Redwoods, it would be you. What is your take on Tyler Palco?
I've always been a guy who was a little confused as to why he was somebody's number two quarterback. But, you know, I'm also not there every day. I never have bought into, well, he ran Joe Flacco out of Pitt. I mean, he was there. He was established. I don't know how coaches think. You know, they get their guy. They don't want to change. And so I'm not quite buying that spin. But the bottom line is the coach, you know, I mean, Todd Haley is excited about him. I don't think Haley is as hot to trot on Matt Castle as maybe, he's letting on. And I think that certainly if that coaching staff is behind Palco, that's fine. But I'm not expecting great things.
Well,
the offense is lighting it up anyway. Let's put it that
way. Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be ugly for Kansas City on Monday night. But I want to get into a couple of things with you. And thank you so much for taking just to a few minutes, because I know you're wanted by everybody on the planet. You made some great points. It was either last week or 10 days ago. I want to get into this thing about, and it happens a lot with fans of every team, but around here, I am so sick and tired of people painting a pass or fail brush on NFL teams every week because it's such an unpredictable thing. Last, before the Jet game last week, and it was a whole bunch of people nationally and locally, Belichick can't coach. The game has passed him by. He drafts lousy. Blah, 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 blah. It, to me, it's such a bunch of garbage. I thought you put up some, made some great points about Bill and the personnel decisions that he's made. Can you go over, can you kind of repeat what you said on television last?
First of all, I got to just add a little something. Even on Monday, you know, when we do this NFL 32 show that we do, Susie Culver and I, most every week, but most every day, but I started off the notes, an email that I sent to everybody, which we do every day, by saying, you know, having a daily show and covering this league can really make you look stupid if you are into being extreme in your viewpoint. And a lot of times that's what people look for, extreme viewpoints. I think that's just a reminder you need to be measured. You know, as far as Belichick, I mean, listen, in terms of his you know, some of the free agent acquisitions and even, you know, you can even say some draft picks. I mean, I just go back to Ron Wolf. I use Ron Wolf kind of as a model. Ron Wolf's a guy who some people think should be a Hall of Fame general manager.
Mm-hmm.
When Ron was with the Packers building that up, he used to always tell me, he says, have you really looked at my drafts? I says, well, yeah, you got this guy. He goes, no, I says, if you actually add it up, he goes, I think I'm batting below 500. And he goes, so then you want to supplement it a little bit with free agency, and you're not always going to hit 1,000 there. He said, but, you know, you just hope you hit on enough guys, and then it's about evaluation. Then it's about development. And I think that we forget the development part of it, and we don't have patience with the development part of it. Obviously, the free agency thing has been hit and miss, and it is for a lot of people, but it's been hit and miss for Bill, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, you know, it's not a lot. This game is not really fascinating to a lot of people coming up on Monday night here because I think a lot of us see, I don't think the Patriots are going to be complacent. I think Bill has probably drilled it into his head, kind of like Lou Holtz used to do every week, when Navy was terrible and all that stuff, that they're about to play the Super Bowl champion Packers and flying high, even though it's, probably Kansas City Chiefs at their lowest point of the season. So I do not expect a complacent effort by the Patriots. I think they're going to come out early in this one and make a statement.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I thought it was really interesting if you listen to Chris Collinsworth and now Michael's, Sunday night. What do they tell you about being at both teams' practices, the Jets and Patriots practice, leading up to that game? Jets were flying around, energized, this is it, you know, and the Patriots were just, ho-hum, mm-hmm. they're having a practice. They're just getting ready for the next game. And it won't change for the Jets game, and it's not going to change for the Chiefs game, and that's dangerous for the Chiefs.
No, I'm with you. And the other thing, I know, you know, nationally, and it aggravates me nationally and locally when people focus on, to me, overall, the most useless statistic in all of the National Football League, which is net yardage.
Right.
I can't stand it. I cannot stand it because there are a million statistics that are so much more important. And you got to take into consideration scores of the game. If a team's coming from behind or the Patriots or whoever is a Packer or whoever is up by 3 or 4 touchdowns, of course the net yards is going to look much worse than it is. I'm more red zone offense, red zone defense, and obviously points allowed. And if you take that into consideration and the way I think the defense for the Patriots has improved the last 3 weeks, and people forget too that over the last 5 weeks, two of those being the Jets, they played five, you know, pretty decent defenses. I do see some improvement here, and with the schedule the way it is for the Patriots down the stretch here, the next 7, I think it's going to get even better.
Well, first of all, I agree with you. I hate net yards as a measuring stick for defense. All the other number one defense football. The only part that got me off guard, because the Patriots weren't giving up, I mean, huge amount of points, is that statistically their red zone defense seemed to slip, at least statistically.
Mm-hmm.
And because, as you know, Belichick, and I'm not going to say he cares less what happens between the 20s, but that's, he takes great pride in what they do with the red zone defense, their third down defense, you know, 2-minute, 4-minute defense, all those things. But when you have their offense and you have their schedule, I you know, listen, what we're looking at is another, obviously, double-digit Patriot season wins, mm-hmm. whether it's 11 or 12 or whatever it is. And then, really, how do we measure the Patriots? They set such a standard. There's only one way that generally, then, you know, you're going to measure them, and that is, can they get to the Super Bowl? And can they win? And this time, you know, can you win that first playoff game, even if you have a bye?
No, I'm with you. And that's what I think. People just are dismissing the regular season as around here as, you know, it really doesn't matter. But I try to drill into people's head, Chris, that how difficult it is just to win a game in the NFL. And people, we're so spoiled around here. We're so spoiled around here. It's hard to win a game in the National Football League. And I don't think a lot of fans realize that.
As the Giants, who I know when the Giants lost the home game to the Seattle Seahawks, there was a feeling in the organization like, you know what? This is going to come back and bite us sometime. I mean, as the Seattle Seahawks won a game in New York against the Giants, Seattle Seahawks just beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you cannot assume Jacksonville beat Baltimore too, right? You just
yes.
can't assume that, you show up and because you're the Patriots, this is a W and it's over with. And you're right. But generally people really don't want to hear that, to be quite honest with you. I mean, they don't want to hear it. And the only thing you get is to get, when those games happen, you get to remind them. See, that's what this league is.
It is.
And by the way, that's why you don't overreact to wins and you don't overreact to losses. Not early anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're 0-11 or 0-10 like the Colts, you can go ahead and overreact.
And let's just switch gears for a second and talk about, because I know you only got a few minutes left, and I agree with everything you said. Just tonight's game is fascinating from so many angles, and my take is, and I'm being around here, I'm not a huge fan of the Jets. I respect them. I don't think they're ever going to win with that team that they have anything significant. However, I do think pride is such a huge factor in the NFL for the most part. I know it's a short week, Chris. I know they're on the road. It's a tough place to play in Denver, even though they won there last year. I just have a feeling that tonight Tebow is going to really have his hands full. I'm not sure he's going to make it through the game. I think the Jets come out as Lawrence Taylor would say, like a bunch of crazed mad dogs.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think that emotionally, maybe even more emotionally than physically, the game Sunday had to linger some. Now,
mm-hmm.
maybe getting away helped. And we'll see. I mean, listen, this Tebow thing, it's, you're going to face a crowd that's really into the game. If he doesn't last, it's because he's going to get benched. Him getting hurt, I mean, the guys, listen, when they traded Peyton Hillis to Cleveland, everybody was sad there. Well, they got Peyton Hillis. He's wearing number 15.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. He's a fullback playing the quarterback position. So, he's built to take a lick. And the thing about it is that this league, because of training camp, because of the lockout, nobody put on the pads, maybe the Patriots did, really worked against the run game. Nobody worked against, you can't do it during in-season because of the limited padded practices. And I don't think anybody's prepared yet to face a team that's committed to running the ball 55 times. By the way, that means you can't rush the passer, so the few times he does throw, and he actually throws the ball downfield well, that's one pass he can make, that the post, maybe the go around. Mm-hmm. I think the Jets win, but I know this much, I'm going to watch the game.
Oh, no question. And I think Tebow's good for the National Football League. I'm just not a big fan of his style ever getting, in the NFL. And the, all this option offense, I know whether he wants the Navy or whatever, not a double wishbone like Oklahoma. But I mean, it's an option style offense and it's never worked before in the National Football League. And I just don't see it working consistently. Now, maybe it worked against Miami, an 0-17 and a Kansas City team that was, playing horrible last week, but I just don't see it working consistently tonight.
Well, you got to remember, we keep thinking he's won these games. He didn't kick, he didn't strip sack, Matt Moore mm-hmm. in the Miami game or kick the onside kick.
That's true.
Elvis Dumervil and Von Miller are terrorizing people. Their defense is playing really well. Their coaching staff has done a heck of a job. So everybody is so Tebow focused. Listen, he is not going to be their quarterback of the future. They know that. That's basically been decided. But they are living in the moment, and that's what good coaches do. They live in the moment, and we'll see how long it takes before it eventually runs out. And we anticipate that to be at some point, right? We also are ignoring some other elements of things they're doing well.
One last question for you about Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles. And I never get caught up in teams that have catchy little nicknames like Dream Team or whatever. I think that stuff is silly. Yeah, I know. I just think that stuff is silly. Open up a big can of worms. But, the Philadelphia Eagles, and it looks like Vick is not going to play this week. You probably know better than anybody else, with the busted ribs. But, are they not probably arguably one of the most disappointing teams over the last 15 years with the talent that's on that team and the record that they have?
Well, yeah, I think they are. I mean, and the one thing you expected was their offense to be more dynamic. I mean, I think defensively there's a reason for their problems, and you know, their linebackers are not dynamic. The scheme, Andy, you know, he'll never admit it, but, you know, the moving of Juan Castillo, a very good offensive line coach, defensive coordinator, let's face it, that hasn't worked. That's an adjustment that's just been a tough one. There's a lot of going on there, but they are disappointing, but it's a great reminder, because I remember when they were doing it, and I said, at the time, I said, what would we be saying if this was the Redskins? Mm-hmm. We'd be saying, it's fantasy football, it doesn't work. But because it's the Eagles, and it's Andy Reid, we're giving them the benefit of the doubt. And in a way, it's a little bit refreshing that it's proving at this point that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, thanks so much. I know you're busy, and I love the new show you do with Susie. It's must-watch television. You guys have great chemistry, and she's terrific as well. I've always been a big fan of hers.
She's a great pro. Yeah, thank you.
She absolutely is. But you guys do a great job. You're all over ESPN. You're on Game Day. You're doing the show with Susie. You're all over the place. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes on the Pete Shepard Show. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon down the line, maybe around playoff time.
Look forward to it. Good being on. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you so much. The great Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us, and he is one of the best and probably still, out of everybody, all the NFL, there's some great ones. I mean, I love Scheffner. I love a lot of guys at ESPN. I love a lot of guys at the NFL Network. But to me, over the last 20 years, whatever it is, how long he's been in there and had a significant role, Chris Mortensen, to me, is one of the most fair and impartial guys you could ever want to talk to, and he really gets it. He really does get it. So we were happy that he took a few minutes out of his busy schedule. And believe me, he's not doing like 8,000 shows at ESPN, plus blogging, plus, you know, video stuff. So we thank him for coming on. And that show with Susie that he does every week is terrific. She is really, there's something about her that she's just, it's not a physical attraction thing. It's just something. Susie Colbert is cool. I've always thought that. I always thought
you gotta be cool to have to look into the camera and say something like this, Pete.
Rex Ryan has refused to answer uncomfortable questions about videos posted on Deadspin.com that suggest he and his wife are linked to foot fetish porn.
Hey, it's part of the territory. Of course, you had to deal with Joe Namath and that crap, you know, that year. And, you know, I want to kiss you.
I want to kiss you. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. That's a huge compliment.
Yeah, you know. But this is something, you know, if I can use an old Brady Bunch term, you talk about groovy chicks. Susie Colbert's a groovy chick. I love her. I think she's just terrific. Anyway, 508-298-0398, that's the number to call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Also email me, webradio@patriots.com, and also Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. My legendary picks are coming up. 8-8 last week. So-so, obviously. But my miraculous lock of the week won again by 37 points to up my record to 7-2 on the year. 1 week I missed because I wasn't here. 7-2 for my miraculous lock of the week. And I got another great one for you coming up. So hopefully you're taking that to the bank. The injury report is out as well for today. Dane Fletcher, Devin McCourty, and Brandon Spikes did not participate. The rest, everyone is all limited. Arrington, Chung, Connolly, Ellis, Falk, Law Firm, Guyton, Adeyebo, Price, Slater, Solder, Vollmer, Waters, and Welker. All were eliminated today. All were limited today. And so we shall see. But complacency, I do not believe, will be a factor tonight, or Monday night, when the Patriots take on the Kansas City Chiefs here at Gillette. Gene says, hi, Pete and Kevin. I think it's been brilliant the way Bill has manipulated the roster and attached those guys in the pups. So now in the final push to the playoffs of all three fresh bodies, I did not hear anyone giving Bill enough credit for these moves. Yeah. Well, you're not going to hear a lot of the mainstream media do that because there's so many haters with so many agendas out there. And, they just keep focusing on net yardage. It's the most over net yardage and sacks are probably two of the most overrated statistics in all the NFL. Even though it worked out great last week with Andre getting the 4.5 sacks and now he's getting 9 for the year. It's still, overall, for the most part, if you're basing pass rush strictly on sacks, then you're not getting it. You're not watching enough games because You don't necessarily have to have a whole bunch of sacks in a game to create a pass rush, which can in turn help your secondary, which in the Patriots' case obviously is pretty depleted right now, but they're hanging in there. And all they have to do is play like they did last week, and we all know Sanchez isn't quarterbacking again, and this week they have an even worse quarterback to go up against, so of course you expect some pretty decent numbers, but through all of that, they are going to grow and get better. And with experience, that's like any job. That's all you can do. I mean, they can't, you know, they have to play who they have to play. It is what it is. You know, that's it. So we'll see. But I expect 40-plus points tonight, for Monday night for the Patriots. So anyway, shall we do the picks? Is it about that time? Might as well. Gather the family around. I know it's not dinner time for some of you yet, so plenty of time. Time for Pete Shepard's picks. For Thursday, we go through all the games. Here's how it works. I go through all the games, and I will give you my Patriots pick at the end. My last pick will be my miraculous pick of the week. And I will tell you, it does not involve the Patriots. It came close, but it will not involve the Patriots this week. So here we go. First game, it's tonight. It's the Jets in Denver against Tebow and company. Everybody on the planet will be watching this game because the Bruins will be ahead 9-0 on Columbus before the second period is over. So, the Jets tonight, I think, come out on fire in all phases of the game. I know everything seems to be stacked up against them, and it kills me to even have to do this. But I try to be fair and impartial. As much as I hate the Jets, I just think they're going to come out tonight flying high. I don't like them that much to be playing that. But I think tonight they come out like a bunch of crazed mad dogs. I think the option offense is not going to work all that well for the Broncos. I think they're going to force him to throw the ball a lot, which is disastrous for Denver. And I think the Jets win by a touchdown tonight, -6. I think they win by at least a touchdown tonight. So I laid the 6 here with the Jets, -6 at Denver. Next up is Sunday, obviously. The rest of these are all Sunday except for Monday night. Atlanta is a 6-point favorite against Tennessee. What? Way too many. I am sorry. Mike Smith, what a bubblehead play that was last week. Sean Payton out-bubbled you early in the fourth quarter of that game, or late in the fourth quarter in that game. And then
I was retarded or something.
And then you out-bubbled Sean Payton with a horrible call on fourth down. Atlanta, -6 at home, no way, too many. I like Tennessee, +6 in that spot. Meanwhile, coming up, I think it's going to be a very entertaining game, believe it or not. Miami, I almost said the Hurricanes, probably a better team. The Dolphins will be hosting the Buffalo Bills in Miami. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Call me nuts. I'm going to take Buffalo here, -2, because this is an absolute must-win for them. And if they should fall in this one, they are done. I think they're done anyway, but this is a game that I think they win in a high-scoring game, believe it or not. Buffalo, -2, gets to play there. Next up is Baltimore home, reeling after that horrible loss at Seattle. They're home and 7-point favorite against the Cincinnati Bengals, who are not the Bungles. And so far, this year, for the most part, you know, it has been a great season for parole officers not having to track down any of the Bungles. But I like Cincinnati in this spot, +7. That seems like a lot. Hey! I'm talking about, Baltimore, just inconsistent. And now I know Flacco's played better against good teams and not so hot against bad teams. And Cincinnati's a pretty good team, so that means Flacco probably will play well. But I think the Bengals keep this one close. 7 points is too much. I'll take the Bengals with the points in this one. Cleveland is home, -1 against Jacksonville. Tough one to call here. Tough one. I'm going to take Cleveland reluctantly -1 in this spot. But I like the under huge. It could be 5-3 in this game. That would be the crap game of the week in the NFL. Cleveland hosting Jacksonville. As Cleveland hosting St. Louis last week, I told you would be the crap game of the week. It ended up being 13-12. So I like Cleveland there. Oakland is at Minnesota. They are a 1-point favorite. This is one's easy for me. I know it's on the road. I don't care. Minnesota sucks. I'll take the Raiders and Carson Palmer, rejuvenated by the Raiders, and Oakland -1. They get the call for me in that spot. Next one's a tough one. Detroit is home, 7-point favorite against Carolina. Should be a pretty entertaining game here, but in this environment, I think Cam is going to be in for some big trouble and some big plays against him. I think he's going to get sacked a few times in this one. I think Detroit bounces back. Detroit minus seven. They get the call here. Green Bay at Lambeau Field is now a 14-point favorite against Tampa Bay. Now, I told you how I am against double-digit lines. Well, last week I did pick the Packers. I thought Minnesota was going into a bad spot there. This week, I'm just going to go by backdoor cover here. I think Tampa Bay plus the 14. I'm going to take them here plus 14. And they really need to just get a win here. And not a win, but just keep it respectable. They haven't looked good the last couple of weeks. But I think Tampa Bay will keep it close at Lambeau in the end. I mean, they'll probably be down 21 the whole game, but maybe cut it to 12 or 13 points in the end. 14 points is still a lot. I'll take Tampa Bay in this one, plus the 14. But Green Bay still wins easily. Game won't be in doubt, I don't think. Dallas is at Washington. Dallas is a 7.5-point favorite. Way too many points in this one. I'm sorry. I know Dallas is playing better. Washington hasn't looked good. I've seen this rivalry for years and for decades. The Skins at home, I take Washington plus a 7.5 in this one. San Fran is home, a 9.5-point favorite against Arizona. Not buying it. Skelton somehow keeps the Arizona Cardinals close in this one. San Fran wins, but not by 9.5. Way too big a line, I think, for that. I'll take the Cardinals. St. Louis, fresh off that incredible 13-12 last second win against Cleveland because Dawson missed a 24-yard field goal that wasn't even close. So they're on fire, the Rams are. They're minus two at home against Seattle coming off their huge win somehow over Baltimore. I don't see it, though. They come crashing back down, and I think St. Louis, the Rams get it done here for me, minus two at home. Next up is the Giants. Minus four against the Eagles. It looks like Michael Vick ain't going to play. I know this game is traditionally close.
G-Man!
I got to go with the Giants here to bounce back after that loss last week at San Francisco, a game that they could have easily won had Manning not thrown all those interceptions. But I like the Giants in this one at minus four to beat the Eagles. Finally, coming up. Well, not finally. There's two more games left. Monday Night Football coming up here at Gillette. Which would be Monday night. It's the New England Patriots. Your New England Patriots, my New England Patriots, are home against the Chiefs of Kansas City. Well, what can you say? Tyler Palco and who else? Not a lot here happening. Bottom line is we've gone through it. We've dissected. We have analyzed. Final score, Patriots 44, Chiefs 14. This is going to be ugly early and often. Patriots come out, make a statement. Make a statement. They are minus 15, lay the 15, take the Patriots before it goes up to 18 by kickoff. Because it's gonna. Patriots minus 15 in this one. They get the call, believe it or not. That's probably the biggest line of the year so far of any team, including the Packers. So the Packers might have had a 15-point line once as well. And finally, last but not least, is the pick that's...
And now, it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
All the top handicappers who make money off those stupid 900 numbers are listening and standing by, waiting for this pick, which is 7-2 over the first 9 weeks. There's not a lot of handicappers that can beat that. But my Meat Shepherd Monster Miraculous Pick of the Week. That's right, I'm going to say it. The Bears, minus 3.5 at home against San Diego. I just think, I know the Chargers are due to bust out of it. I'm not seeing it this year. The Bears are
known as the Bears.
I love the Bears. Love that line, 3.5. I think I was expecting like 7 or 8 points in that game they'd be favored by. I love the 3.5. I think they win by at least a touchdown. The Bears minus 3.5 against the Chargers at Soldiers Field. The Bears are my Meat Shepherd Miraculous Lock of the Week. Looking to go to 80% at 8-2. Should they pull it off, and I believe they will. Well, that's going to do it for another week of the Pete Shepherd Show. And a couple of important thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing this week. Matt as well for being here. Thank you to Mortimer, Chris Mortensen, joining us from ESPN. All the other guests who are on this week, B-Lo and Kent Babb from the Kansas City Star. We thank him. And thanks especially to you who called in and who sent emails at webradiopatriot.com and to my Facebook page. Really appreciate it, guys. Love it. Next week, a little bit different because of the Monday night game. EEI has the studios on Tuesday, so I will be here just once next week for Wednesday. We'll have B-Lo. We'll look ahead to the Eagles in that one. Yeah, we'll have the fantasy football lowdown next Wednesday at 4 o'clock and probably some other guests at that point. Thursday, Thanksgiving. So just one show next week on Wednesday. Until then, have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday at 4 o'clock on the Pete Shepherd Show right here on Patriots.com. See you.